Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Confucius is credited with saying, "Choose a job you love and you will never have to work a day in your life." However, not every passion is easily turned into a paycheck, nor does every dream job maintain its luster over time. So how can we get better at finding work that fulfills us, or reclaim satisfaction in the career we have? Today's guests can offer some answers. They are Nathan Gebhardt is one of the creators of Road Trip Nation. He's also one of the authors of Roadmap, which made the New York Times Education bestsellers list. It's a guide to answering the question, so what are you going to do with your life? Nathan, good morning. Nice to have you.
Good morning, and thanks so much for having me.
Steve McClatchy is also with us. He's founder of Allure Training and Consulting and the author of Decide, Work Smarter, Reduce Your Stress, and Lead by Example. He says that if you're not happy in your work, it's not your employer's fault, it's yours. Steve, nice to have you too. Good morning.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning.
Well, having never met either of you, let me start by saying my mental picture of each of you is very different. Steve, I'm betting you spend a lot of time in a business suit, am I right?
You are correct.
And Nathan, if I remember what you wrote in Roadmap, you and your two companions each contributed articles of clothing to manage to piece together an interview outfit. Am I remembering that correctly?
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. We had to share a suit to go into the Boston Philharmonic interview the conductor there.
Yet if we were to create a Venn diagram of what each of you advise in your book, I mean, there would be some definite overlap here. So I thought I'd toss out some similarities we noticed and then ask how you guys address them. Nathan, let me start with you. One of those is the value of a person asking questions of themselves. What are some of the questions people should ask when it comes, you know, to the work in their lives?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easy and most fun fundamental one is just, what am I interested in? I think we all know, like, the dinner table conversation or the family barbecue that everybody says, you know, so what are you doing or what do you do? What they ultimately mean is occupation. And I think that pressure that gets onto us from the moment we get out of the sandbox and are asked, what are you going to do when you grow up? We kind of switch our brain into this kind of occupation mode. And we think in terms of what job am I going to have? And I think the 1,000+ interviews we did over the last 15 years have really shown that the people that were most happy, they started with a very simple thing, like, what am I interested in? And then they found and they evolved and they grew with that interest. When we interviewed Richard Meyer, who was the architect of the Getty Museum, he didn't say, like, I want to be an architect, or, you know, he said, I was really excited about drawing and drifting and making model boats, and I just loved making things. Interest in making things is what led him to the pursuit of architecture.
Huh. Steve, what important questions do you want people to ask themselves?
Not very different. I think Nathan nailed it. I mean, when you are going to spend as much time as we spend working in life, we have to consider, what mission do we want to be a part of? I mean, we need a paycheck, right? So if we have to work, choosing work that there's some type of a desire included in that work, there's an interest there above and beyond the paycheck, is always the most successful people and the best way to go.
Well, being a leader of your own life, Steve, how does good leadership differ from good management? What's your sense?
Well, you know, each and every day I kind of put everything in Decide into two buckets. There's things we have to do, and these are tasks that I define a have to as, they have deadlines, they repeat over and over again after you do them. If you don't do them, they're brought to your attention and you face consequences if you don't do them. They're what I call the maintenance tasks in life. And then there's the improvement tasks, the things like writing a book or running a marathon or learning a new language or a musical instrument, things have to do at all. And balance is really about making sure you stay engaged, you know, doing the things you have to do and doing the things you don't have to do.
Nathan, what do you say is a beginning step for assuming leadership and in figuring out one's work life?
I mean, I think it's probably very similar to where Steve was going, is that, like, leadership in yourself. I think what we've seen is that it's really easy to kind of identify these big questions, like, you know, as you're growing up, what am I going to study? You know, what is my first job? What is my next career? And I think the sneaky thing is that I think the things that are most impactful to our lives are the accumulation of many, many small decisions that evolve and add up over time. And a simple, like, reference to that is when we interviewed Christian Jacobs, who is the founder of Yo Gabba Gabba. He said And when you come home at night, like think about how you're spending the day. Like don't just go home and watch Lost all night. Like if you're interested in being a filmmaker, like write a script. Think about that way in which you use that small free time. And I think it's just really paying attention to how we make our small decisions and where those decisions are leading us. That's important.
Yeah. Nathan, I think what we're going to try and do here is get you on a landline in just a second. You're breaking up a little bit, so just hang on for us for a second. Steve,
No problem.
There are these things that can keep you from getting where you want to go. Nathan labels it the noise, and Steve, you call it distractions. How do you advise people to deal with all this, Steve?
Outside of our brain, there's really two tools we use to help us make decisions, a to-do list and a calendar. And the to-do list, and nobody likes creating one, I say the reason we create a to-do list is so that the things that we have to do in life take less time, right? That's the noise, and the more we can diminish that noise and make those things take less time, cause us less stress, the more time we have for doing the things that we want to do. And when you're taking your life in the direction you want it to go, that's what I call personal leadership. That's you're going after what you desire and what you want, not just taking care of what would eventually find you.
And that's where the focus needs to be, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You have these things coming at you each and every day that are, they have consequences, they have deadlines. Then you have this list of things with no consequences, no deadlines. How do you balance those two things? And that's where the calendar comes in. So the to-do list is really for speed. The calendar is for stopping, for scheduling something, defending it, and falling behind on the to-do list. I mean, making a decision, I'm not going to take care of the maintenance items. I'm going to move things forward right now. And that goes for you. That goes for your relationships. That goes for the business. That process, that three-step process that I call the leadership, the personal leadership process, is consistent across all three levels. We have to schedule the things that are important. We have to defend them when they come under attack from the maintenance items. And then we have to fall behind and play catch up with maintenance later. That's the way we achieve goals, learn new skills, acquire, new experiences. This is the way we move things forward.
Nathan, yet you describe, you use these words to begin chapter 7, life is not a to-do list. What do you mean by that?
Because I think it's really easy to just cross off that to-do list. I know for me, my to-do list is my email. And what I'm constantly trying to do is make sure that I'm putting the important ahead of the things that kind of get in the way. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to, I think, that balance that Steve talked about earlier. You have to do both. Like, I have to actually be responsive on email, and I have to move the ball forward in my day-to-day work. But I also have to kind of stop and create space so that I can really ensure that the path that I'm going down is the right one. Because I think if we don't, we end up on kind of this situation of following this invisible assembly line that we just cruise down without really much recognition of, because we're stuck in the moment day to day.
Yeah. And Steve, you divide items on your list as under a couple of categories: prevent pain and move toward gain. Explain those to me.
Yeah, so the prevent pain tasks, what we're motivated to prevent is the consequences we'll face if we don't do them, right? So taking out the trash, nobody wants to take out the trash. So why do we do it? We think about the consequences we would face if we didn't do it. That's the only motivator. Whereas gain tasks, we're gaining the benefits, the outcomes, the results that we desire in the task. So the gain, as Nathan mentioned, we're responsible for both. But everybody wants to say which one we should do, when really we're responsible for both. When we get to that leadership improvement, moving things forward category, that's when we start to build our self-worth, our self-identity, our self-esteem. I mean, what makes us different from everybody else? Not the things we have to do, the things that we don't have to do. When we get into that category, that's really what gives us a unique identity.
We're talking about a couple of concepts here: getting better at finding work that fulfills us, or reclaiming satisfaction in the career we already have. We're visiting with Nathan Gebhardt. He's the author of Roadmap, one of the authors of Roadmap. Steve McClatchy is the author of Decide: Work Smarter, Reduce Your Stress, and Lead by Example. There's this line in Roadmap, Nathan, that sometimes the specifics of your decisions aren't nearly as important as making a decision itself. Why is that?
Mm-hmm. I think it's because it's kind of that phrase of paralysis by analysis. You know, I think one of the most difficult phrases or bits of advice that I've had is this idea of follow your passion. When you hear follow your passion, you think, oh my gosh, like it's that one thing, like finding a soulmate or something like that. And you spend a ton of time thinking about, ooh, is this the right move or that is that the right move? And what we've really seen in all the interviews that we've done is that it's not about choosing the one thing, like the one passion. Passion is ultimately the destination of making lots of intentional decisions along the things that you're interested in. And so people countlessly have kind of communicated their stories to us in a way in which they said, I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew the next decision in front of me. I knew the next small piece to make. And so I think in those places where you're choosing, you're stuck between one or the other, it's far more important to choose one, figure out if that's right, back up if it's wrong, or continue if it is right, than it is to just sit and on pause.
Hmm. And in your book, Decide, there's this nugget, Steve: the decisions we make result in the life that we build. But for that to happen, you both say that you not only have to make decisions, but you have to act upon them as well. I mean, which do you think is harder, Steve? I mean, making the decision or taking the first step to actually implement it?
Oh, that's a great question. I'd put them equally as difficult. You know, you have the decision part, and then once the decision's made, there's the work, right? There's the work ethic that is involved in executing that decision. And a lot of times, the fear of making the decision is, I know the responsibility, all the work that would be involved in making that decision, right? So it's I don't know. I don't know what I would place as the more difficult. Sometimes the reason we don't want to make that decision is because of the work we know that would be involved in it.
Hey, how did you guys get involved in doing this kind of work and working on these kinds of books? Nathan, go first.
Sure. I mean, for me, it was really simple. You know, and I was thinking about this earlier. I had kind of started very early on, probably like coming out of high school, telling myself essentially a lie. And it was in response to people saying, what are you going to do with your life? And I really had no answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I started to say was, I'm going to major in business in college and become a management consultant. And that seemed to work really well in terms of having people stop asking me those questions that I didn't know the answer to. And the really scary thing is that that had nothing to do with the interest, the person that I was. It was just a tactic. But as I went through college, I actually started to internalize that. And it was like 2 weeks before I was graduating from college where I actually talked to a management consultant to realize simply that they wear suits all day. And that was not going to line up with who I was. It was perfect for him, but it wasn't who I was. And so myself and the other co-founders took a 3-month road trip across the country to try and figure it out.
Hmm. And that road trip, as we've talked about before, that road trip worked, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. Probably 2 weeks into the road trip, we realized like this was something much bigger than our own story. And so we're 15 years into it and probably 25 different road trips crisscrossing the country and world. But it really showed me the ways in which to apply my interests to all different places. So I knew I loved snowboarding and I knew I loved art and design, but I could never articulate to my parents or to anybody giving me pressure that there was actually a job that mashed those two together. And it wasn't until we interviewed Michael Jagger at JDK Design, who does all the design work for Burton Snowboards, that I realized, oh my gosh, like you can put interests together and actually not be poor and homeless and live under the boardwalk.
Yeah. You know, that just raises an interesting question, Steve. I mean, can these respective processes be applied to folks at any age, at any level of employment, or what do you think?
You know, I say the kids are always better at it than us. You know, they want to spend more time, do less time with what they have to do. And as we get older, it kind of reverses and we get real good at the have to's and we start to lose sight of those passions and the things that we want to do. So, you know, when I do teach it to the high school and the college kid, I flip it. I flip it to balancing, you know, as we talked about, getting both done. It's so hard, but the focus of the younger kids is on doing more of what they want to do. So I want to make sure they spend time doing that by making sure the responsibilities they have are taken care of as well.
Hmm. Let's go to some phone calls here. If our listeners need some advice on doing what you love or loving what you do, now'd be a great time to call 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Rebecca from Olathe, good morning.
Morning, Steve. This is really interesting. My friends and my husband and I have been having this conversation quite a bit lately, and what we've all come to the conclusion of is that several of us have followed our passions and found out that the job that followed it wasn't as fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
And so the advice we've been taking and giving to others is to, for your career, do something that you're good at and that you know you can do well, and then follow your passions outside of work so that you can have a more balanced and fulfilled life.
Nathan, what do you think of that, what Rebecca just had to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing I would want to say is anything I say here it needs to be interpreted through your own lens. There is certainly in Roadmap no one cure fits for everybody. But I think I think we'd all probably agree that like the ideal world would be to say we love the work and we love, you know, the life outside of work, that we're an authentic person through and through in both situations. There's not the work Nate and the father Nate. And so I think it's thinking about like how possibly you could think about evolving from one to the other. I imagine like a good story that might relate is this guy named Tinker Hatfield that we interviewed. He was always really interested in sports, but kind of abandoned that and found himself in architecture. And he was at a situation where it wasn't like he could kind of just willy-nilly quit his job and start all over. He probably had lots of bills to pay and responsibilities to family. And so he started to think of, how can I use architecture to get closer to sports? And so he did kind of this lateral evolution, and he went from being a pure architect to actually doing the architecture for Nike's office building. And so he became the corporate architect for Nike. And then there, he then drove deeper into sports and realized that it wasn't actually architecture. And it was sports, but it was sports design. And so today, he's the vice president of innovation and oversees all the design at Nike. But it was this very lateral move as opposed to just quit and figure it out.
Yeah. Steve, would you answer that question any differently?
When you turn your passion into an occupation, you've taken this thing that you want to do, and now it has qualities and characteristics of things you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I have taken a passion I have and turned it into a career, and I love what I do, and the passion has not gone away. And I think the key to this, you know, when you're involved in a big goal, whether it's marriage, whether it's kids, whether it's a career, you know, the key, and I make sure I do this, is to celebrate. You know, when it's a big goal and you get involved in it, and a lot of your passion is a have to, if you don't look up and say, hey, I'm actually doing something I love to do, then you can lose sight of the fact that this is at one point was a goal. I understand the challenge, though, of turning your passions into a career. I think it can be done. I think the caller brings up a good point. Sometimes those passions are best for the side. I used to be a DJ. I used to be a wedding DJ, and I realized that was not something I could turn into a career. So that fit the description of what she was saying. It was better as a side, you know, fun passion rather than trying to make it a career out of it. But teaching for a living for me was a passion, and to do it every day is the greatest joy. And I really celebrate it. It's something I found great satisfaction out of. So I think there's definitely some challenges in doing it. And if it becomes if you're doing it as a career and you lose that passion, it might not have been the right one to turn into a career. But I think some things can be turned into a career and some things cannot. And as we go in that direction, we learn.
Rebecca, I hope that helps.
Yeah, I think that's great. I appreciate this conversation quite a bit. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. Well, gentlemen, I really want to thank you for your time here today. Nathan Gebhardt is the author of Road Trip Nation. He's also one of the authors of Road Map. Steve McClatchy is founder of Alere Training and Consulting, and he's the author of Decide, Work Smarter, Reduce Your Stress, and Lead by Example. Gentlemen, thanks for a great conversation. I sure appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be with you today.
Good luck, guys.
Thank you, Steve.